Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And Des is back with us.
Yeah, Mary, busy weekend, and we'll be heading to Cheltenham and Rome shortly. But first, let's go to last night's Europa League action. Manchester United came from a goal down to beat Real Sociedad 4-1 at Old Trafford, 5-2 in aggregate. Thanks mainly to a brilliant hat-trick from captain Bruno Fernandes and Diogo Dalot's late goal. Ruben Amorim's side will now play Lyon in the last eight.
We show a little bit the future. We dealt with the problems of the present. And then today we had a good performance from our team. I think the physicality was there, and in this competition, it's completely different. We can be the dominant team in physicality. So we are learning about us, about different competitions, how to win games, sometimes how to draw games to win some points. So it was a tough week, but a good week.
Now, Spurs also go through on a 3-2 aggregate. They beat AZ Alkmaar 3-1. Wilson Odobert scored twice. James Maddison got the other goal. Spurs will play Eintracht Frankfurt in the quarter-final. Rangers advance too on penalties, despite losing 2-0 at home to Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce. And in the Conference League, Chelsea were unimpressive, but they managed a 1-0 win over Copenhagen. They go through to the last eight also. Well, tonight, Shamrock Rovers, who had such a good European run, visit the Premier Division leaders Drogheda United, who themselves have made a hugely impressive start to the season. Likewise, second place Waterford, who travel to Galway. St. Pat's host Bohemians, and the champions Shelburne are hit by a virus ahead of their home game at Cork City. Damien Duff said he'll struggle to field a team in that game because of the virus. The First Division leaders Dundalk, well, they're in Bray. In golf, Rory McIlroy is just one shot off the lead after the opening round of the Players' Championship in Florida. Not quite finished. A few more players have to finish their opening round. But McIlroy had around a 67, 5 under par, one behind Lucas Glover, Camilo Fiegas and JJ Spawn. Shane Lowry finished level par and Seamus Power is 4 over. Well, it's the big day in racing, Gold Cup Day at Cheltenham, and Willie Mullins, Galopin Deschamps, bids to earn legendary status by winning the Gold Cup for the third year in a row. We're joined from Cheltenham by Don McLean. And Don, it hasn't been a great week for hot favourites.
Yeah, it's been a strange week, Des. A couple of the short-priced horses got overturned, and I suppose a lot of it was down to jumping. Like John Bond made that bad mistake down the back straight. Ballyburn made a bad mistake as well early on. There have been a few favourites who've gone in, though. Factor 5 was good in the Ryanair chase yesterday. But yeah, Galopin Deschamps, he's a different entity entirely. He's bidding for his place in racing history. He's won two Cheltenham Gold Cups. He's going for his third. Only three horses since the 1930s have won three Gold Cups: Arkle, Bestmate and Cottage Rake. So that would put him in a very... I mean, he's already a superstar. He's already in an elite club. But to join Arkle and Cottage Rake and Bestmate, that would set him apart as something really special.
And where does the main threat come from?
Probably Banbridge, I'd say. Joseph O'Brien's horse. He won the King George at Kempton back in December. And before he went to the King George, we weren't certain if he'd stay 3 miles, but he really stayed that trip. The sectional times tell us that he really had to see out the trip. He saw it out really strongly. And on breeding, you can argue that he'll see out the trip today. It's an extra 2.5 furlongs. It's 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs. But he's got Cheltenham Festival winning form, Banbridge has. And that's massive coming on here. As you know, it's a unique test to Cheltenham up and down hills, and the fences come at you quite quickly. But Banbridge is a big player, and I know the way you're thinking as well. He's been put into the race, and he was good the last day. He jumped a lot better the last day than he had been jumping. And Gavin Cromwell's having a really, really good week. He's hit the crossbar a lot of times. I can see another way you're thinking running well as well.
Okay, and what about the rest of the card?
Yeah, it starts off with the Triumph Hurdle, as it always does. Gold Cup Day starts with the Triumph Hurdle. The two British-trained horses, Lulamba and East India Dock, they've been dominating the market for this for a little while. Gavin Cromwell has Hello Neighbour in there. He's unbeaten in 4 runs, 2 in the flat and 2 over hurdles. And he was very good the last time winning the Spring Juvenile Hurdle. He'll probably be suited better by the strong pace that he should get today. They should go fast in the Triumph Hurdle. There's lots of pace in it. And he's a classy horse off the flat. He could go well there. And you've got the Albert Bartlett Hurdle later on with the Big Westerner. She's favourite for that. She was good in winning it at Limerick last time. And she's probably, I mean, it's a wide open race, the Albert Bartlett Hurdle. Let's say the Grade One race, but yeah, she's on top of the market for that. I think maybe Jasmine DeVoe, who won the Champion Bumper here last year, he could maybe be a threat to her.
All right, thanks for that, Don. From Cheltenham to Rome then, it's the final weekend of the Six Nations Championship. Ireland face Italy in Rome tomorrow, so let's get Donal Lenihan's verdict. And first, Donal, your reaction to the many changes in the Irish team?
Well, look, I think there was always going to be a reaction to the defeat against France last week, the fact that Mac Hansen and James Lowe obviously are available, having been injured. Gary Ringrose, his period of suspension is up. I think they were always going to come back into the side, but... you know, I think the big talking point is Jack Crowley getting the number 10 shirt back from Sam Prendergast. A difficult outing for Prendergast against France. And I think Crowley is deserving of his opportunity. Likewise, I think there had to be some response to Joe McCarthy's silly yellow card. And I'm not surprised to see James Ryan and Jack Conan back involved in the team. Much changed, as you say, but in many respects, particularly in relation to the... attack, I think it's probably a stronger Irish side than we had available against France.
So how do you see this match and indeed the championship unfolding tomorrow?
Yeah, look, it's obviously there was much talk coming into the championship of a potential first Irish team to win three Six Nations titles in a row. That went out the door last week, but I think Ireland could end up four wins out of five. In theory, they're still in the championship, but if I'm honest, I think it's France's for the taking. But that said, I think Ireland, given that they're first out of the blocks on Super Saturday, it's imperative that they just finish, they control what they can do. Be very surprised if they don't get the four-try bonus. I mean, Italy have been porous in terms of defence, so expect Ireland to win well. But I think it'll only be a stay of execution because I think the championship is there for France, to be fair. Given the quality of their performances over the past 5 or 6 weeks, I think they should get the job done in Paris and would end up being deserving winners.
All right, thanks, Donal. And of course, you can see that match on RTE tomorrow and tonight when the Irish under-20s take on their Italian counterparts in Treviso. In swimming, the Whitlam brothers are due to swim in the first event of the Edinburgh International Meet today. The 1500-metre heats are just getting underway. And finally, well done to Team Ireland at the Special Olympics World Winter Games. The Team Ireland skiers had a haul of medals on the slopes in Turin, bringing their total now to 5 gold, 2 silver and 2 bronze medals.